You may be seated. So, what did you want to be when you grew up? For me, it was an astronaut. Our school district bought an old school bus and painted it white and black to mimic the space shuttle, and they bolted on a plywood tail fin and drove it around, calling it the space bus. And I was hooked. A little later, as my dreams and aspirations got a little more down to earth, I started to think and realize, well, I'm good at math and science. Maybe I want to be an engineer. But I also remember those times being on church mission trips and serving people and how good that felt to me. So I thought, maybe what I should do is become an engineer and do water and wastewater remediation projects in third world countries. And then as that progressed, I found a ministry that was engineering company that provided design services to overseas missionaries. And so I served an internship there and designed an orphanage for some missionary families that were living down in Haiti. Little by little, God continued to tug on my heart, and what I realized was that I didn't want to be supporting a ministry like that, but I wanted to be more directly involved in that word and sacrament hands-on ministry. And that's what led me to the seminary, become a pastor, and led me here. Well, today in our gospel reading, we see Jesus beginning his full-time ministry. A few weeks ago, we saw his baptism in the Jordan River, and immediately after that, he goes off into the desert to be tested by the devil for 40 days. And then right after that, sometime after he returns, John the Baptist is arrested, and Jesus withdraws into the region of Capernaum, and there he begins his public ministry, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Shortly after that message, Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee, and he says to these two fishermen, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, these fishermen leave everything. They leave their boats, they leave their nets. Two of them leave their father right there on the shore. They leave everything behind, and they get up, and they follow after Jesus. And for 3 years, as Jesus is traveling around, teaching and proclaiming the good news of this kingdom, he's also living with these disciples that he's called, 12 of these men, and investing in them, and teaching them, and guiding them, and training them, and entrusting to them the message of this gospel. See, God's great plan, his great desire is not that people would repent, would die, but that they would repent, that they would turn from their ways, that they would come back to God and understand his great love for them. And so he invests in these 12 so that after his ministry here on earth is over in that 3-year time period, that there would be others who would continue to proclaim that message to the whole world. That's his plan. And these 12 disciples, I mean, they struggle, right? They left everything to follow Jesus, but they didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't understand this message. Repeatedly throughout the Gospels, you see them making mistakes and not understanding what's going on and making a fool of themselves and Jesus having to call them back and straighten them out. But eventually, they get it. Eventually, they understand who Jesus was, and they take on this mission of going out, and they become fishers of men and proclaim this message. And the Bible talks about how they go out into Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, proclaiming this great news of a God who loves people and wants them to have life in his name. And this message, this mission and this message of these disciples, it changes the world. But somewhere along the way, this text about becoming fishers of men has led to one big misunderstanding. And that is that the only way, or perhaps the best way, to serve God is through a full-time ministry. And so somewhere along the way in church history, you see this group of people who, in their desire to serve God, begin to withdraw from the world. And this monastic order begins to build up where people will leave their old life behind, everything they knew, withdraw out into the desert, into these secluded retreats where they do holy works for God, serving him with their life, living as best they can for him, but removed from the rest of the world. And this is what leads Luther famously in the Reformation to say that those who do such things, that a mother changing the dirty diaper of her child is doing more for the kingdom of God than all of these monks in all of the monasteries everywhere, because the mother is serving God by serving someone else. See, God has called you into his kingdom. He's also called you to bring others into his kingdom. God's called you into his kingdom, and he sees you and he knows you. He's seen you in your worst moments, and he loves you, and he wants to have this relationship with you, and he wants you to understand his love and his grace and to become his disciple. But part of being a disciple is being one who goes out and makes other disciples. And so he has also called you as his follower, as his disciple, to go out and make disciples of others, so to help them understand this great love of Jesus. And not everybody is called to leave what they're doing in order to go do that. To use the language of our text, you can be both a fisher and a fisher of men. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a place for full-time ministry. And there's actually a growing shortage of church workers in the United States. And so there are fewer and fewer pastors and DCEs to carry on the work of the church in that full-time ministry. And the vacancy like we're experiencing after Pastor Ben's departure is going to become more and more frequent in our church. And we are in desperate need of men and women who will hear that call into ministry and leave their other professions and come into the full-time work of the church. And maybe you, as you're hearing this message today, God is pulling on your heartstrings the way he pulled on mine, saying, perhaps this is what God intends for me and my future. Perhaps that's for you. But the church also needs men and women who will remain fishers while also being fishers of men. The church also needs men and women who will serve God as they continue in their work. See, part of the call of God is that you serve others through your vocation. And when we hear the word vocation, what we tend to think of is our job, our career. A vocational counselor helps you figure out which career path you want to follow. And that's a meaning of the word. But the broader meaning of vocation comes from the Latin, which means a calling. The thing that God has called you to. And that refers not just to your paying job, your 9-to-5 gig, whatever that might be, but also to all of the places, to all of the relationships around you, to all of those people you are called to serve, your friends and your neighbors and your family. All of those things are part of your vocation. When we confess the Apostles' Creed after the sermon, we will talk about, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And as we confess those words, part of what that means is that the God who creates this earth continues to sustain this earth and provide for his people. And one of the ways he does that is through you. God provides food and clothing and shelter for his people through you. And so whether you are the CEO of a multinational corporation, or whether you feel like you're lost somewhere in middle management, or whether you are the person who's emptying out the trash at the end of the day, as you work in that job, you are carrying out this first article gift of God of caring for people and providing for them. As you are working in this great economic engine and you are earning money for yourself, it's to provide for your family, it's to help our economy keep running so that others have jobs and have the goods and services they need to live in. There is value and dignity in that kind of work, and you are providing for others as the hands and the feet of God. And moms, if you stay home with your kids, don't ever let me hear you say, and don't ever let anyone else say of you, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom. Because when you're caring for your children, when you're changing that umpteenth stinky diaper, that feels like all you're doing all day long, every week, every month, you are carrying out a calling of God, caring for the child that has been entrusted to you by him. And this is a work with dignity and meaning. And if you're a parent that is raising children and changing diapers and has a paying job, that just means that you have multiple vocations that you have to juggle. But you serve others through your vocations, and you're serving God as you serve in those roles. That kind of work has meaning and dignity. Second thing, you are also called to use your vocational skills to serve God's kingdom. Let me tell you what I mean. You see, I serve on the board for FLUMA, Lutheran Urban Mission Agency, which seeks to strengthen the ministry of Lutherans and Lutheran congregations in the urban areas. And so as part of LUMA's work, we've been partnering with Emmanuel Lutheran at 42nd and Tracy. It's the oldest Lutheran church in Kansas City. And it's gone through some hard times, and the congregation has dwindled, and this old building has kind of fallen into disrepair. And we're trying to partner with them and create this new season of ministry and really reach out and meet the needs of the community around them. But in order to do that really well, we have to make sure that that building is in working order and prepared to meet the needs and provide support to the ministry that's going to happen there. And so the LUMA board and the leadership of this congregation have been trying to struggle with how do we get this building back work. There's been some flood damage and the roof is leaking. And we're trying to make sense of how do we effectively and efficiently repair this building to meet the needs of this new era of ministry. As we were talking on the board, one of the pastors says, you know what we really need is somebody who understands the insurance industry, could help us figure out how to handle this flood claim. And as he's talking, the light bulb goes off in my head. Oh, I know somebody at Trinity who does that. Maybe I can give them a call, see if they can help. Well, what we really need is somebody who works with real estate development and those sorts of things. Well, I know somebody at Trinity who does that too. And we really need somebody who's been a contractor and has worked, knows how to deal with other contractors and help us get this work done. I know somebody who works at Trinity who does that too. And I talked to him, says, oh, well, I've got a retired architect as a friend. Do you think he could come along too? Well, absolutely. And all of a sudden, we've got this team of people who this Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. are going to meet down at Emmanuel, are going to walk through of the building and assess the damages and help us figure out how to move this ministry forward in an effective way. And they're going to accomplish things that a group of pastors could never have figured out on their own. They're using their vocational skills in service of the kingdom. And it's a beautiful thing. And lastly is this. You can be a fisher of men in the places you live and work and play. To use the language of this text, there are plenty of fishermen who don't know Jesus. And you don't need to leave the field of fishing to go off in search of somebody who needs to know Jesus, because there's plenty of people right there who are fishermen who don't know Jesus. You get to be a fisher of men right in the places that you live and you work and you play. There are people that you are in contact with through your work. People you're in contact with who are in your neighborhood. People who you are in contact with through the sports teams and the things you do for fun. Who are a part of your life, part of your sphere of influence. People that you come into contact with that I almost guaranteed will never come into contact with unless you first share the gospel with them. So you can serve God in His kingdom. You can be a fisher of men while remaining a fisherman, while continuing to work and to serve in the places you live, work, and play. That's part of the way that God has called you to serve others in His name. See, God has called you into His kingdom, and He has called you to bring others into His kingdom. And while He's called some of us into full-time ministry, most of us He calls to be both fishers and fishers of men. So today, receive His love and know that He cares deeply for you. And live in that love, and then share that love with others that they too may understand the great love of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand.